So here we are. Get the recorder recording a bit more. Okay. So we can take that. Okay. So this is our last phone call for the whole program. And the idea is to send you off into the world with a kind of TSK outlook orientation, something like that. I was just reading that I happened to come across by accident a different passage in Love of Knowledge that is talking about the quality of the inquiry in TSK. And it made a very good point, I think. And I don't have the passage in front of me, but it said the quality of TSK inquiry is grounded in wonder and is very close to delight. And I think that is a good clue. You know, one of the questions that comes up with TSK over and over is, well, what is it? You know, what is the practice? How can I tell whether I'm doing it right? How can I tell if I'm getting good results? And those are all perfectly good questions, and they're good questions to keep asking yourself, actually. The answer that I want to suggest, in a way, to all of those questions is there a sense of wonder and discovery and joy or delight? Is there a sense that there is something that you're gaining access to or finding ways of exploring that are you know, really completely new and, in a sense, unexpected? And if the answer to those questions is yes or maybe or sometimes it feels that way, then that's a good sign that you know, what the kind of commitment to knowledge or love of knowledge or commitment to inquiry that we've been trying to activate is really available. The kind of core experience in TSK or insight is that when we are exercising knowledge, on the one hand, you could say a different kind of time and space become available, and that's part of the theme of this chapter. But on the other hand, and perhaps more directly, you could say we experience our own human being as being alive with more possibilities. And sometimes that shows up in really practical ways. Rinpoche talks about that a little in this chapter, ways in which our life changes for the better in kind of conventional terms. And sometimes it's more just this sense of a tremendous aliveness and openness to new possibilities. So that's where I'm hoping we arrive. It's not as though at the end of this talk I push a button and that that happens for everybody. But I think that in the course of the program, perhaps a sense of that has opened up for you, and that then becomes really a life-changing experience. And as always in TSK, you know, when you talk about transformation or changing your life, in one way, that's a really profound change that we're talking about. In another way, it's just very much, you know, you're living your same life. It's not as though the world has suddenly changed into a paradise. You know, there are ways of, there are practices that do that, and even in TSK, maybe there are experiences that people have like that sometimes. But the basic point is that whatever is going on in your life, it's accessible in a new, dynamic, rich, and alive way. And if that's so, then that continues forward. And it's certainly valuable to continue studying TSK. And we will be doing the TSK retreat, which will be a chance to really explore that more in depth. And we will continue with a program in the fall. But right now, I just want to say that when we're done with our phone call for a day, when we're done with the program for this year, that the qualities that we've been trying to investigate remain available, and I'm sure you all have some sense of how to go forward with that. Let me stop and see if anybody wants to comment on that. Anything, I'm not looking for testimonials so much, but just if there's something people would like to say about their own experience that seems to kind of fit in with that and might be helpful for others to hear. Anybody? Okay, then we'll move on. So the starting point is kind of what I've already talked about, which is that where Rinpoche writes, and I talked about this in the orientation, Rinpoche writes about transformation, transcendence arising within our present situation. And that's a theme that we're all really familiar with, so I'm not going to really talk about that too much more. Now, what Rinpoche says at the beginning of the chapter, in that first paragraph, is he says, in our ordinary way of understanding, something is missing. We are always operating within limits, persistent limits. He says, without deeper knowledge, time has its certain quality which makes it kind of an enemy, and space has a certain quality which makes it into a kind of limitation. So we find that our lives are not fulfilling in the way that we would hope. And he puts this in a very strong way here. It was really striking to me when I read it this time. He says, in this first paragraph, even if we live in accord with the highest moral code, even if we devote ourselves to profound spiritual practice, even if we dedicate our energy to strict mental or physical discipline, these limits will persist. So, does that mean that he's dismissing the value of any of those approaches? Well, no, I don't think so. But he is saying that you've got to be able to activate this deeper kind of knowledge. And the fact that you have profound experiences, profound spiritual experiences, or the fact that you choose to live your life according to the highest ethical standards, as he says here, those things are important, but there is another dimension, and it really is this dimension of knowledge. So one way, not in love of knowledge, but one way that Rinpoche talks about this, or talks about something at least that is related to this, is in terms of first level, second level, and third level knowledge, and space and time. And a lot of you are familiar with that kind of vocabulary, which Rinpoche especially talks about or uses in the first TSK book. What he says is you can have second level experiences that really serve to show that we don't have to keep going in the way we've always been going, which right now we can say that's the first level. That's not quite right, but right now we can say that. And second level experiences, I think, are related to what he's talking about here. You know, profound spiritual practice can lead you into these very different modes of being. Choosing the highest moral code or conduct can really change your relationship to your own life. These things can really make a difference. But they take you to a different level. They involve a certain kind of transformation. But if something else more fundamental doesn't shift, and here he's talking about it in terms of deeper knowledge, if we don't activate deeper knowledge, then we will be left with a sense of limitation in space and reduced possibilities, let's say, closed down possibilities in time. So, as always, the question is, what do we do about that? And Rinpoche here says something, I'm at the bottom of page 89, that's very interesting. He ties it to imagination, and I talked about this a little bit in the orientation. He says, if we learn to see more, new vision will arise. Engaging the mind actively allows this vision to expand so that the imagination learns to imagine the unimaginable. So I don't know how people reacted to that. I started thinking about it, and actually in preparing for this phone call, when I went back and read what I'd written in the orientation, I was, for a little while, I was puzzled. I had to rethink it. Because in the orientation I wrote, we can imagine knowing differently. And that's kind of a paraphrase of what Rinpoche writes here at the bottom of page 89. We can imagine knowing differently. And if this imagination itself becomes real, then there are no more obstacles. We really do know differently. And I asked myself, well, what did that guy mean when he read that? When he wrote that, rather. By the way, let me point out that people are making some comments in the chat about the question I raised earlier about, you know, some of the impact of this approach. So that's very nice, and I encourage people to look at those descriptions. Thank you. So I'm coming back now to this question of imagination and asking, what is it really? Why did I write? That was my question to myself. Why did I write that if the imagination becomes real, then we really do know differently? So when I thought it through again, and I realized if I was puzzled by it, other people may have been puzzled by it, so that's why I want to deal with it now. When I thought about it again, I thought, well, the point is this, that knowledge at the level that TSK talks about is not primarily knowledge about something. You know, it's not knowledge about how a clock works or knowledge about some kind of disease or even knowledge about our own psychological states. Knowledge is the experience that we have and the activity of having that experience. And imagination is one form of experiencing. So if we can develop if we can imagine a different way of being, then we experience that way of being. And it's not a question of you know, imagining that we might be able to experience that. That's not going to make any difference. It's not even a question of pretending, imagining in that sense, that we're having a different kind of experience. It's that if we can really cultivate a different imagination, then that is our experience. When it comes to experience, experience is the whole thing. If we change our experience, then our experience is different. It's very hard to say this in a way that doesn't sound self-evident, But what I'm trying to point to is that if we know the world differently, then it's a different world. And it may still be a world in which, you know, we fall and break our arm, which we'd rather didn't happen. But what that means, you know, to say, I fell, I broke my arm, all that may be different. Because we're imagining the world differently. So, you know, if you think for a moment about, just in a very, in the broadest possible sense, if you think about a visualization practice, the kind of practice you do in Tibetan Buddhism, let's say you're visualizing just a red circle. That's done actually in various kinds of Buddhist practice. So let's say you're visualizing a red circle. That visualizing is a kind of imagining. Usually I don't like to use that word, but for our purposes here I'm going to use it. And let's say that you imagine that red circle as being more and more intensely red. And let's say that you imagine that within that intense red there's a kind of a stream of energy that's beaming out. And let's say that you imagine that the quality of that energy conveys joy and clarity and love. That's not, you know, that's the kind of practice you would do in Tibetan Buddhism. Well, the point is, if you have that experience, then that is the reality that you have. It's not as though we say, oh, well, yeah, there really is this red, you know, I've created this red ball, this red dot, whatever it was, in front of me, and now, you know, I'm going to put it in my pocket and take it home, and then I'll have it available. You know, that's very much, that involves a kind of a first level orientation. But if you're having the experience, then that is the reality. And the having of the experience, the imagining, is a form of knowing. Right? And that's where Rinpoche says here that when you engage the mind, and you could say that means when you engage the capacities of the mind, you really can expand your vision of what's possible and learn to imagine the unimaginable. So a glowing red circle that radiates all these qualities, that may be really unimaginable in the ordinary sense. But it's possible. And it's possible because knowledge really has all these capacities. And that's really the point I wanted to try to make. Now, I know that that's not so easy to say, so let me stop and ask if people have any sense of that. Any questions about that? Anybody want to say anything about that or chat about that? Okay, well, Bruce is saying something here. So Varela observes that perception is as imaginary as imagination is perceptual. Yeah, I think it's a very much a related point. Actually, I guess, yeah, this, okay. And Arthur asks, so you're saying it's just experience? Is that all? Is that the whole point of the thing? I wouldn't quite put it that way. Because the whole notion of experience is already a limitation. And at this conference that I'm at right now, there's been a lot of discussion about the meaning of experience and people not really being clear about the meaning of experience. And I haven't talked about this element in the conference particularly, but I've been thinking about it, that something Rinpoche points out in the TSK books is that experience is very much tied to the idea of a self who experiences. So if I say, you know, you can imagine a red circle and it has these qualities, it sounds like saying, well, you can have a different kind of experience and isn't that cool? But that isn't the point. That would be much more in line with what Rinpoche writes about in the first paragraph when he talks about devoting ourselves to profound spiritual practice. The point is more, and this is a little related to the comment that Lois has made here about there being no otherness. The point is that making a distinction between what we experience and the reality that's out there doesn't quite work in TSK terms, because the reality that's out there is also knowledge, is also the activity, it's also involved in the activity of being known. Now, the knowing, we say, well, I see this, I have this experience, I imagine a red circle, and we go on and on like that. But there is a more fundamental knowing that's involved, and it goes to this thread that you see in so many different traditions, which says that there's a oneness, there's no distinction between the one who knows and what is known. But I think in TSK there's a very different foundation for saying that, and it's this very common sense foundation that we've talked about before. Common sense is not quite the right word. What I mean is it's a very it's just the way things are, not in some mystical way, not in the way of having some different, unusual experience. It's that the world that is available to us, so you could say the world that we experience, but then you have to say a little more, the world that is available to us is knowledge through and through. It is, you cannot separate it from the knowing of that world. And what you have to say more then is that that also includes the one who experiences. So, saying that the imagination can learn to imagine the unimaginable is saying that the imagination can really go beyond itself. That the imagination can go beyond our usual understanding of what kinds of experiences are available to me. And even if I have a profound spiritual experience, as Rinpoche suggests here, I remain stuck within a certain model of having the experience unless I see that fundamental point. Bruce is pointing us towards visions of knowledge, and Lois points towards Zen, and certainly you find things like this in the Zen tradition and the Buddhist tradition in different ways. I mean, the larger Buddhist tradition. But Bruce points us towards the discussion of imagination and visions of knowledge, and I think visions of knowledge does have the best discussion of imagination. It also talks about speculation, which is something we usually think of as problematic, because speculation takes us away from real experience. But Rinpoche says, you know, speculation is a form of knowing, imagination is a form of knowing, observation is a form of knowing. And on page 90 at the top, Rinpoche says, he asks, how can we do this? And he says, well, there's exploration through observation, analysis, and inquiry. And you know, it's so interesting because Rinpoche, you know, those terms that he uses sound very ordinary. You know, well, observation, everybody talks about observation, and analysis, and inquiry. Well, we've spent a lot of time talking about inquiry, so maybe people have a little bit of a sense of the depth of what's involved in those terms. Each of those terms would require, you know, a very careful thinking through, and that's part of what we've been doing during the whole of the past year. It even goes beyond that. And he says, apart from exploration through observation, analysis, and inquiry, I'm at the top of page 90, we can cultivate a deeper knowledge through respect for the possibilities of our own intelligence and through a willingness to explore in all directions. So that exploring in all directions is so fundamental, and a part of it, a really important part of it, is turning the gaze that explores back on the self, you know, turning around and looking at who is the one who's doing the exploring, who's the one who's asking questions, who is the one who has certain kinds of experiences. And you know, the point of asking that question is not to have an answer, but it's to see what happens when you try to answer the question, and when you look for a who, what is the how of that who? I'm not insisting on that way of saying it, but every part of our experience is available for calling into question. Lois, to ask your question, and I love Kathleen did. I'm on page 90 of Love of Knowledge. And Rinpoche says something very challenging and interesting here. It's kind of especially interesting for me in this moment because I'm in this conference and I'm just as connected. He says, this may require developing new symbols and new language, metaphors and concepts that can do justice to all the circumstances and possibilities that inquiry discloses. Now, I have to say, the TSK vision has been out there for more than 30 years, and if you think of this, or this book has been published, has been available for more than 20 years, and if you think of this as a challenge or an invitation, you know, can we develop new symbols? Can we develop a new language? I don't think we've made that much progress. I think we've made some progress towards new concepts, but I don't know that we have made much progress toward new metaphors. And I think what that means is, you know, that's an interesting challenge or invitation that's available and out there and open to us. I see that people are continuing to comment. Okay, Bruce actually put the visions of knowledge quote in there. That's very nice. Imagining our way into the heart of being, so that we can challenge the limits on our knowledge. I'm paraphrasing, but if you have the screen open, you can read it. It's not some secret knowledge. It's not some revolutionary insight. It's recognizing that we are not limited by limits. Lois is, I see, is in the middle of asking a question. Okay. We're pretty much out of time because, as I said, I have to stop pretty much on time today. Let me just see if there's any key point. I think what I want to point to, just one more thing, is on page 91 where Rinpoche addresses the practical impact of that. Because I know that this can start to seem either a little too theoretical or a little too difficult in the sense that you find yourself thinking, well, I can't do that. You know, I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be able to let go of my limitations at that very profound, very deep level. One answer to that is don't make that assumption. That is just itself a limitation. Just look and see within ordinary experience. And that's a very important answer, I think. But the other thing that Rinpoche says here on page 91, it's very practical, and I think it's a good place for us to stop, is he says there are certain indications that a different vision, a different way of knowing is in operation. And he talks about being accepting, being tolerant of ourselves and others, being more able to deal with others and more patient, being less caught up in the concerns of the self, being more at ease with our situation. Those are all wonderful indications that we really can know differently. And he ties those into the idea of love of knowledge. And a little bit later on page 93, the second full paragraph, he says, he takes that just a little further, and he's talking about universal ways of knowing, and he says, the whole of creation in time and space may participate in a most remarkable intimacy with wisdom, compassion, and moral conduct of the highest order, its spontaneous expression. And I think one of the qualities of TSK that is so striking is that that's not just some promise of what might happen at some point in the future. He's saying, if we let knowledge expand, if we are willing to question the ordinary limits on our space and time and knowledge, then that just becomes the reality of what's going on. It's an immediate availability. So, I think we are at the end. We are at the end. I see everyone. Thank you for your thanks. My thanks also. It's always very illuminating and helpful for me to do this kind of program. And we will go on in the fall for those of you who like to, and we will continue in a rather different way during the retreat for those of you who have the opportunity. Okay. Thanks a lot, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thanks, Jack. Thank you. Thank you.